Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm glad to be with you in a different capacity this morning. Let's pray together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you, Father, from your words in 1 Kings, Father, I ask you to open our hearts and our minds to what you are trying to say. Be with us and calm us. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, as you can tell, naturally I speak very fast, and I have written several times that my notes just slow down. So I'm giving you permission to raise your hand if I'm going too fast so that I slow down. So we'll do this together this morning. You know, this morning I feel more than anything that God is looking for people who are full of passion. You know, Christ's followers should be full of passion. They should burn with the passion to serve God and to serve others. You know, too often I think we take God's life-changing grace very lightly. We often allow ourselves to rest in the comfort of God's grace, and we never allow it to influence anyone around us. You know, serving God is much more than an emotional experience. And sometimes we try to make it out to be an emotional experience. How did the worship service make me feel? How did I come away? Am I emotionally served? Serving God is more than great worship. Did I do two of them? It's much more than great worship and good music. Serving God is more than reading our Bibles. See, I told you I got me all of them. Reading our Bibles and praying every day. And then lastly, it is. And keeping ourselves unspotted for the culture that is around us. But we need to focus more on is serving God is always about serving others. Yay! We're going to have fun today. Serving others. We're good? Okay. God is calling his church to another level of walking with him. You know, I've started to feel it here, and I know several of you here at this church are starting to feel it also. God is calling us to another level of our spiritual journey. Maybe you've been resting, and I understand that. And maybe you've taken a little break from things. And maybe you've thought that you put in your time and you're just not feeling it right now. But I wanted you to know that God has no reserves. He has no retirement plan. And he doesn't want weekend warriors. He wants people who are passionately pursuing him. You know, there's a grave danger with church people right now that we've been falling into in recent years. It's especially serious in churches with the younger population. Because of the kind of worship we like to do, and it answers that emotional need that we have, it becomes very easy to be addicted to that Sunday morning experience. And we walk out of church being emotionally stirred and emotionally wrought, but we're never changed. We've just been on an emotional roller coaster. You know, God is calling us as a church to begin to minister to others around us. You know, it's one thing to have a safe, nice place that is kind of self-orientated service that you can invite your friends to, and those are good, and those are good that you feel safe to bring someone to church. But we need to make it a little more than just a nice, safe place to have a Sunday morning experience. This needs to be a place that we go and we start to change people's lives. We're inviting people to catch that passion that we see around us from God's word, and that we're bringing them into a place that they're safe, that they actually can hear the truth about God. Nothing that's sugar-coated or twisted for a personal agenda. Just to hear the solid word of truth. And one of the books that I like to read is The God Chaser by Tommy Tenney. That's a little small, but I'm going to read it to you also. In his book, The God Chaser, he says this: there's something in us that makes us afraid of the commitment that comes with real intimacy with God. For one thing, intimacy with God requires purity. The days of fun and games in church are over. And what do I mean by fun and games? If your definition of fun is low commitment and lots of chills and thrills, then all you've wanted to do is date God. God is tired of us wanting to get our thrills from him without putting on that ring of commitment. Some are more enamored with the goosebumps than the glory. They're addicted to the anointing, lacking the feeling of being blessed, receiving the gifts, like a religious gold digger, happy with chocolates and flowers and jewelry. The last time I checked, God was still looking for a bride, not a girlfriend. One who will stick with him. And that really, really strikes hard. When you're dating somebody, you're pulling out all the stops. When you're committed to somebody, you go through the ups and the downs and the highs and the lows, and you make it work. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants to pull that bad stuff out of us and change us. You know, today we're going to look at Elijah's story. Elijah and Elijah in the Bible. And it's going to be, if you've not turned to it, it's on your sheet that's handed out to you. It's 1 Kings 19, 20 through 21. And 10 through 21. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" So Elijah turned back from him and took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh and using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people and they ate. Then he rose and followed Elijah and served him. From this passage this morning, I want you to get three A's. So we'll be looking at three different A's that we must take to realize the potential that God has put within each of us. First one is acknowledge the call God has placed on our lives. It's not up there. It's not up there? It is now. There we go. See, it's not just Rod, it's everybody. They acknowledge the call that God has placed on our lives. You know, there's no question, if you take the Bible seriously, that God places a call on each and every life that God calls. Every one of us have been given a personality, special gifts, and unique talents that God wants us to use. Every one of us has something to offer in some area to help serve others. I have this question for you. What are you doing with what God has given you? How are you helping others and the community that we live in for the name of Jesus? In the beginning of God's ministry, Jesus' ministry, he was continually bumping in to fishermen and tax collectors, political activists, and he kept asking them to follow him. I want you to listen to these words of Jesus, and you know you've heard them many times. "You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. Let your light shine. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you." This message that I'm talking about this morning is not about ministry opportunities. I don't want you to get confused. Within our church, we have several opportunities of service around us, but you know what we also have? We have a non-committal attitude about getting things done. We have this attitude, I'm sure some of you have heard this, and I've heard this in other areas. The door of the church is always open, and that should be good enough. They know we're here. That doesn't work anymore. The place of the church in the United States right now is not what it used to be. People think we are hypocrites and liars and cheats, and they don't really want to have anything to do with us. So just being here is not enough. We actually have to start thinking about the community around us and how we're going to impact it, how we're going to change the way people view the church and people view God, so that maybe, just maybe, we can reignite the fire that was supposed to be here that went out. And it's all of our faults that it's went out. We've gotten comfortable and complacent in what we're doing. And we've kind of, just rested on God. God's going to get it done. But we all need to focus more on what we can do to help others. Did it stay? Okay. Then Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle upon him and left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Please let me kiss my father and mother, and then I will follow you. What does it look like to you to answer the call of God? This is the second A. Abandon. Abandon ourselves to serve him. As I stated earlier, Jesus in his early ministry kept bumping into tax collectors and fishermen and political activists. And if we really think about it, but really think about the people that he bumped into and asked them to follow him, they abandoned their careers, their families, their futures, just because Jesus said, follow me. He also said, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And what he's saying is simple. Whoever abandons his life will live it to the fullest. Abandonment to God is going to be dangerous. Serving God to the fullest extent isn't going to be safe. It's not going to be always lovely and quiet and peaceful, and everybody's just going to believe everything that you say when you say it and just come running to God. It's not going to be that way. It's going to be a lot of sweat, a lot of hard work, a lot of toiling, and sometimes a lot of heartbreak. And again, if you really believe the Bible for what it says, it can even lead to your own death. God is calling for very, very passionate people. You know, like it or not, today we live in the time of what I call an anemic church. We're here, we're trying to make it, but we're always living from that next moment for somebody to preach a good word, or the next moment that I can feel the blessing of God, for that next supplementation to make me feel better. And what that means is we're sitting here on our rears, waiting for somebody else to give us something to be excited about. And God already did that 2,000 years ago. We've got to stand up and we've got to start moving. And that's what he's calling us to do. Let's again reflect back to Tom Tenney. This is another good thing in his book. He said, we have become addicted to the relayed word of God, God's good preaching and teaching. Too many of us have become milk babies who want to sit on padded chairs in an air-conditioned climate-controlled building where someone else will pre-digest what God has to say and then regurgitate it back to us in a half-digested form. What he's basically saying is we're babies. We'd rather have formula because it's easier. It is easy. Our children, I can talk about my children, if they're hungry, they come and ask us for food. They expect us to have it ready. Now, when you become an adult, you have to think, now, what am I going to cook? Did I take it out? Did I leave it in the freezer? What am I going to do when you get home? It takes a lot of thought to figure out what you're doing. That's the same thing when you're studying the Bible. It takes a lot of thought. Now, what is God trying to say to me? What was he saying to the people at this time? What kind of things should I pull from this passage that I'm reading? It takes some studying and it takes some learning. But unfortunately, we've gotten so comfortable. Especially, I know here now that you've had Pastor Rod, and I've heard him preach for several months, he gives you good truth in teaching and breaks it down to a level that you can completely understand. But I could say, and I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds for Pastor Rod, but he wants that just to be the beginning. He's getting you to that point, but he wants you to step out further and really study what God's trying to say to you and really study the Bible and come back with questions. I love questions. I know Pastor Rod likes questions. Ask questions about what you're learning. So that we can know more, so that if you're out in the community and someone asks you a question, you have a great answer for it, and you can show them in the Bible where it's at. It's all about serving others and knowing what God wants you to do. You know, how much preaching and teaching can we continue to soak up in our churches before it dwells up inside of us and translates out to actually telling somebody else about Christ? We can sit here and we can listen to all the good Christian music we want to listen to. We can watch all the Christian television and shows that we want to watch. We listen to all the great orators and preachers and giving you all the words. But if it doesn't come out for you to share to somebody else, then what's the use of listening to it? I know that's hard to take in. But why are you listening to it if you're never going to share it to anybody else? You know, at the church that me and Kelly were at in Anderson, which is right after we got married, That church did a lot of community outreach events, which we're really excited about. But we were at this particular one at a soup kitchen in the lower side of Anderson that was very poverty stricken. So we were at the soup kitchen giving out food, so we were very busy. And one of my church members that we were there with, she made a comment because some of the chicken that we had didn't look the best. And she was like, well, you know, what did they expect? And I looked at her and I was like, you know, they expect the best. They really do. We should expect to give them the best. And I got a little bit upset, so I removed myself from the situation and so that I could clearly think. But while I was doing that, I noticed an older black lady sitting in a car all by herself in the parking lot. So I walked over there and asked her what was going on. And if she was hungry, and she said she had brought her grandkids here and they were eating, but her legs were really bad and she couldn't walk very far. And I said, okay. I said, well, can I pray for you? Is there anything that I can pray for you about? And she just almost started crying. She's like, I want you to pray for my daughter. She is going through a horrible situation and I have the grandkids and I want you to really pray for her. And I prayed for her and I prayed for the legs, and then I went and got her food, and you know, me and Kelly went home, and Kelly had saw the same thing that I had saw. But that's always stuck with me. You can't have an attitude of what do they expect. You have to have the attitude, I'm going to give you everything I have. Because I might be the only person that you see that has God in me. I may be the only reflection of God you're going to see. So I have to put it all out on the line and lay it all out for God. You know, if we're going to answer the call that God has put on us and become passionate Christ followers, we're going to have an encounter with God that is new and with a new and fresh way. We must leave our old ways and our habits behind and lay stretched out before God until we hear a definite call that he has for us to do in our lives. And sometimes you just have to stand there and wait in quiet. Because some of us, like me, I like to do things. I like to continuously do things. So sometimes standing still and just listening is a hard thing to do. It just really stresses me out to have to stand still and not talk or not do something. So it's hard to just stand there and lay yourself bare before God and say, what are you calling me to do? What can I do to impact the kingdom of God? You know, abandonment is going to be costly. It's going to require undivided loyalty to him. And, you know, Elijah models this well in Scripture. I'll just leave it. So Elijah turned back from him and took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people and they ate. Elijah was done farming. He didn't need it anymore. He was ready to follow God's call. He was passionate about it. So in essence, he burned all the bridges he had. Symbolically, he sacrificed the yoke of oxen as a sign of willingness for his abandon to God. And that brings us to the third A. We have to allow God to use us in his own way. Elijah acknowledged the call by abandoning everything that he knew that was familiar. He allowed God to use him by serving an old prophet who was coming down to the end of his life. And so you just want to ask, what is God calling you to do? You know, I long for the day with men and women will begin to look at a neighborhood that they live in or a community and begin to let God find creative ways for them to work through him to impact others. Passion is going to be risky. The Bible gives us example after example of people who fell in love with Jesus and they lost their jobs, they lost their families, they lost security. Once people met Jesus, their passion became so hazardous. You know, it came to the point it was hazardous to their health. You know, people were estranged from the church and rejected by their parents. They became unemployed. They ended up in jail. They lost their lives and they became nothing in the eyes of the world. Passion is not to be treated lightly. The passionate life is going to be a risky life. God is calling us out today to know him and to know him more passionately. I'm going to start closing up here with a story, and I'm going to read it to you. And I want you to put yourself into this story. A young father, you know, a typical type A personality, followed the same routine every day. He would arrive home at 5:30. He would park the car in the garage. walk out to the driveway with his briefcase in hand. He'd pick up the paper, proceed through the front door, enter the house, place the briefcase in the hallway, put the newspaper on the couch in the living room, then walk down the long hallway to the kitchen. Once in the kitchen, he would open the refrigerator, reach for a carton of milk, pour a glass of milk, and return the milk to the refrigerator. Without thinking, he would pick up the glass of cold milk and grab a cookie and head to the den. While he was at the den, he would turn the TV on, and sometimes he would stop during commercial to browse the newspaper. His routine had been the same for many years, and unbeknownst to him, his 3-year-old son had paid attention. One night after the father came home from work, he began his usual routine. And as he stepped into the hallway, setting the briefcase and the newspaper down, he looked up to see his son down the hallway with a smile on his face. Obviously, anticipating his father's return, Dad knew there was something up. So he stopped and watched his son turn around and head to the kitchen. Pleasantly surprised, the dad crept to the edge of the kitchen to see what the son was up to. The little boy ran into the corner of the kitchen. He pulled out the bottom drawer, which he was not supposed to do, stepped on that drawer to climb onto the counter, which again, he was not supposed to do, reached to the cupboard and pulled out a glass, knocking the other glasses over. Thankfully, none of them broke. With a glass in hand, the little boy scooted back down the drawer, then onto the floor, and then ran over to the cookie jar. He reached as high as he could and barely grasped the jar and knocked it over and spilled cookies all over the floor. Obviously, to his father, he scooped all the cookies up. Oblivious to his father, he scooped all the cookies up and put them back on the counter, except for one. He picked up the remaining cookie and ran over to the refrigerator. He placed the cookie and the empty glass on the floor. He opened the refrigerator and pulled out the gallon container of milk. Awfully heavy for a 3-year-old, it promptly fell on the floor, which knocked the top off and spilled milk. He then picked up the container of milk, with the container wobbling terribly, and filled the glass of milk, spilling milk all over the floor again. Any other evening, the father would have yelled at his son by now, pointing out his terrible mess he was making. Instead, he sensed something much more important was happening here. He patiently waited for the little boy to pick up the cookie and the glass of milk and came running to him with a huge smile on his face. The dad threw his arms around his son and said, "Thank you, son." Dad realized his son was giving him a wonderful gift. This 3-year-old boy had acted purely out of passion for his father, and luckily his father had recognized it. Normally, by the time boys are 3, the passion has already been learned out of him. And by the time they're big boys, it's completely forgotten in childhood. You know, as you heard this story this morning, I bet some of you were struggling with the neatness that was not happening in the story. You heard voices in your head saying, "Don't you pull out that drawer. Get off the counter, look out, you're going to break the glasses. Oh, look at the mess you made on the floor, you're spilling milk everywhere." You know, if the father had listened to those voices, who knows what kind of damage he would have caused to his son in that moment. And that is kind of what we need to think about with God. When we're standing there with our wobbly glass of milk and cookie, that he's smiling down on us and is happy that we are at least trying to do something. And he's going to bless it. You know, he's looking for people who will hear the call and respond to make a difference in the life of somebody else. You know, as we stumble around trying to make things right, God is loving us all the way. He will respond and use you in ways that you can never imagine. You know, as we close this morning, this sermon and this thing, I have some questions I want you to think about. So what is God calling you out on today? Would you stand with me? We're going to pray and we're going to go into the time of invitation. As you see the list of questions above you, I want you to think about this to yourself. Am I passionate about serving God with all my heart? Am I passionate about serving others that are around me? Am I ready to follow God with boldness and step out in faith? These are the important questions if you want to see A, this church grow. A, this community be turned back around to the way that we should be and we're following God. These are all questions we have to ask ourselves and be willing to step out on faith and do, and in boldness.